Israel and America, The Real Election Meddlers Part 1. By Philip Giraldi. Handing out cookies in Maidan Square in Kyiv as an incentive to bring about regime change. Why not? It worked in 2014 when then-Sen. John McCain and the State Department's Victoria Nuland were featured performers in a $5 billion investment by the U.S. government to topple the friendly-to-Russia regime of President Viktor Yanukovych. Of course, one might suggest that the success in bringing in a new government acceptable to Nuland has not really turned out that well for Ukraine and the Ukrainian people, nor for those Americans who understand that the Biden administration's pledge to arm Ukraine and stay in the fight against Russia, as long as it takes, just might not be very good for the United States either. George Washington, America's first president, had something to say about getting caught up in foreign quarrels and entangling alliances in his farewell address upon leaving office in 1796. He said, "Nothing is more essential than that permanent, inveterate antipathies against particular nations, and passionate attachments for others, should be excluded, and that, in place of them, just and amicable feelings towards all should be cultivated. The nation which indulges towards another a habitual hatred or a habitual fondness is in some degree a slave. It is a slave to its animosity or to its affection, either of which is sufficient to lead it astray from its duty and its interest." Unfortunately, successive administrations were not listening, starting with the Monroe Doctrine and continuing with a series of 19th-century wars directed against neighboring states and American Indians to achieve the new nation's manifest destiny as a continent-spanning major power. And the United States is still at it, though it now conceals what it is up to by preaching democracy and wrapping the message in woke progressivism at every opportunity. An interesting recent trip by a senior government official that was not reported in the mainstream media suggests that the game is still afoot in Eastern Europe. The early February visitor was Samantha Power, currently head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and a familiar figure from the Obama administration, where she served as ambassador to the United Nations and was involved in the various wars started by that notable Nobel Peace Prize recipient. USAID was founded in 1961 and it was intended to serve as a vehicle for nurturing democratic government and associated civic institutions among nations that had little or no experience in popular government. That role has become less relevant as nation-states have evolved and the organization itself has responded by becoming more assertive in its role, pushing policies that have coincided with U.S. foreign policy objectives. This has led some host nations to close USAID offices. Within the U.S. government itself, it is often observed that USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, now are largely in the business of doing what the CIA used to do, i.e. interfering in local politics by supporting opposition parties and other dissident groups. Both organizations were very active in Ukraine in 2014 and served as conduits for money transfers to the opposition parties for democracy building. Power, who is married to another Democratic Party-affiliated power broker, lawyer Cass Sunstein, traveled to Hungary on her diplomatic passport but took pains to cover her travel as a routine bureaucratic visit to an overseas post. Hungary is undeniably a democracy, is a member of the European Union, and also of NATO. Power did not clear the travel with the Hungarian government and did not meet with any government officials. She took to Twitter to announce that her visit was to re-establish USAID in the Hungarian capital. "Great to be here in Budapest with the U.S. ambassador to Hungary, where USAID just relaunched new, locally driven initiatives to help independent media thrive and reach new audiences, take on corruption and increase civic engagement," she tweeted. She met with opposition political figures and civil organizations and groups, including several aligned with the LGBTQI+ movement, who are dedicated to advocating for gay rights and dignity in Hungary and around the world. Power was accompanied by highly controversial U.S. Ambassador David Pressman, who is homosexual, of course, and who has been highly critical of conservative Prime Minister Viktor Orbán's government. He was finally told to shut up by Hungary's foreign minister. To be sure, Hungary's government does not support the U.S.-led strategy to prolong and even escalate the Russia-Ukraine war, does not accept globalist open immigration, opposes same-sex marriage, and does not allow LGBTQI+ material to be presented to minors in schools. For that reason, the time was clearly right for Power to show up with a little dose of regime change in her portfolio. Hungarian officials had already expressed their concern over what they consider extreme pressure coming from the United States, largely because Hungary is a conservative country that values its culture and political independence. The visit by Power is an indication the pressure will likely increase. The Samantha Power story is of interest, to be sure, but it surfaced at the same time as a much bigger tale of international subversion, also relating to elections and regime change. The United States must certainly be considered the world leader in compelling all nations to conform to the political and moral values that it insists be adhered to, but another country, Israel, has stealthily become the nation that uses its prowess in cyber war and technology via the internet to influence more foreign elections than anyone else.